When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you can hear this, the Browns suck.
I hate the Browns so goddamn much.
You are a factory of sadness.
I'm fucking tired of fucking losing.
Now hear me out. I'm Andre Knott. I was born and raised in Northeast Ohio. I was a pretty good athlete in high school. I ran the football for St. Vincent St. Mary. Some people say I'm the second best athlete to come out of there.
St. Vincent St. Mary led by LeBron James.
Like most people from Northeast Ohio, I grew up a diehard Browns fan. I know everyone says they love the team where they're from, but in Cleveland, it's just different. Football was founded in Ohio. Ohio is the fucking bedrock of the game.
Canton, Ohio, pro football was born here in 1920.
That's why it's been so painful for the last 20 years. The Cleveland Browns have been the worst goddamn professional sports team in America.
Here we go, Brownies! Here we go!
In the 50s and 60s, the Browns were the model franchise.
The Cleveland Browns are the champions of all professional football.
They were legends. Jim Brown, Otto Graham, the namesake, Paul Brown. How in God's green earth did the Browns stay this bad for this long? The NFL is designed for parity. The bad teams are given the best chance to get better through the draft and scheduling. And yet, the Browns have been a monumental dumpster fire year after year after year. And through it all, the Browns fans stayed. We Brown fans are nuts.
I will see you all right here when the Cleveland Browns win the Super Bowl. And I'm out.
This is the unbelievable story about a team that was the Michael Jordan of losing, the New England Patriots of dysfunction. A story about the fans and the city that stuck with the Browns in spite of it all. The Red Sox reversed the curse in 04. In 2016, the Cubs... they did what they did, which leaves the Browns, the last great American underdog story. But to be an underdog, you got to start at the bottom. So we're going back to the worst year of it all, 2017, the real rock bottom. Buckle up, folks. I'm Andre Knott. Welcome to Brownstown.
When you think about the saddest thing that happened since they've been back. Like, the worst period. Was it 0-16? Was it Brandon Weeden?
Sure. No, it was 0-16. 0-16. You ever seen a team going 0-16?
0-16, 1-15, Hugh Jackson. I was there when he got fired after the 0-16 season.
You know, Browns fan, you got to be tough. That's all there is to it. You got to be tough. You got to know how to cry, when to cry and when not to cry, and, you know, when to just to throw your arms and say, okay, I'm going to move on to something else for now.
Zero wins. 16 fucking losses. On New Year's Eve 2017, the Cleveland Browns did what they do best. Lose in demoralizing fashion to the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field.
Kaiser under pressure somehow escapes. Kaiser's pass is incomplete. Right through the hands of Coleman. And he can't believe it.
You know the worst part was? The Browns actually made a game of it. DeShon Kizer threw for 300 yards and two TDs. Josh Gordon stopped smoking long enough to rack up 115 yards receiving. And the Browns even got within 4 points after making a field goal. Don't get me started on field goals.
From Parkey.
Fuck!
Is no good.
God damn!
Longtime voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, knew nobody was enjoying the games. But he was still trying to keep fans from turning off the radio and running towards the 480 bridge.
Maybe this will be the day. That was the attitude that you always took. And you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen in a game. Even when the Browns are 0-16, it's not predetermined. Things can happen and they can win the game. You have to be prepared for that. But you have to be honest, too. I mean, if it's not going well, you have to be able to say it's not going well. Believe me.
And that day, it did not go well. They crushed our dreams.
Football infamy for the 2017 Cleveland Browns.
Other teams have gone winless. The 1976 expansion Buccaneers had gone 0-14. The 2008 Lions had gone 0-16. But this time, going winless just felt different. The season before, the Browns also went 1-15, meaning they had the lowest two-season win total in NFL history. This was an historic rock bottom. Yet, Browns fans stuck around. It's hard to articulate how much Browns fans love this team. Former Browns special teams ace and Cleveland demigod, Josh Cribbs, knows all about it.
I understand the diehard nature of the fans. It's almost as if we didn't have no sports teams, everybody would just cease to function. They'd be like, why should I work? It'd be like a town that the mill runs dry, the factory ran dry, so everybody got to leave town. And I feel like that'd happen if all the sports team left. It's like the streets would be meaningless here in Cleveland because this is such a fandom town. You live and breathe for your sports team.
And despite losing his last game and all other games but one in 2016 and 2017, head coach Hugh Jackson somehow kept his fucking job.
When I say Hugh Jackson, what do you think about?
Hugh Jackson trash.
Why didn't they fire Jackson? Well, basically ownership had tried that before. I mean, they fired everyone, coaches, GMs, presidents, nearly annually. The fans were sick of new faces, and it would seem the devil they knew was better than the devil they didn't. They even extended Jackson. But honestly, we would need a whole other podcast to talk about that decision. To be fair to Hugh, and that's tough, everyone was on his bandwagon in 2016 when he was hired away from the rival Cincinnati Bengals.
We got the right guy for the Cleveland Browns. He is smart. He's tough. He's confident. He's competitive. He's been a head coach before, and I think he's going to be a great head coach for the Cleveland Browns.
Browns owner Jimmy Haslam thought he made the right choice. That's why he made it. But so did others. ESPN and SB Nation ranked Jackson as the best coaching hire of 2016. Fans, like Cleveland-based comedian Mike Polk, were enthusiastic as ever.
This fan base doesn't help when we're making these hires. You know, like, we were excited about Hugh Jackson. We liked, you know, and who wouldn't? He's a good story, and he said the right things and stuff like that.
But
He depresses me. I honestly can't even. I can't. He bums me out, man. Like, he's so transparent in his insecurities and what he's trying to do all the time, and he's not getting away with anything. And it's just embarrassing to watch.
What the fans didn't know was that Hugh Jackson had been set up to fail. You see, Jackson had been hired by then VP of football operations, Sashi Brown, who everyone kept saying is an analytics guy, like Brad Pitt in Moneyball. And Sashi immediately started tearing the team down to the studs. It was the NFL version of Sam Hinkie's Philadelphia 76ers process. What the process does is it builds in a failure period to maximize draft assets, which was a great idea for the Browns, who had proven to be very good at failing. The one small problem with this plan was nobody told Hugh Jackson anything about it.
What I was told is that football was going to lead analytics. And to me, that was never the case. Analytics led football.
That was from an interview with BNC News. But you're going to hear a version of this story a lot. Browns ownership, sometimes accidentally and sometimes on purpose, pits their front office against their coaching staff, or their coaching staff against their quarterback, or the coaching staff against the fans. This time they had Sashi Brown's burn it to the ground strategy versus Hugh Jackson's trying to prove he was a viable head coach. Pat McManaman knew what we went out because the roster was fucking awful.
If you remember the game in London they played, they lost to Minnesota. And in the post game, he very matter-of-factly stood at the front of the room and said, you know, we were in it for a half, then we made some mistakes. And, you know, the way this team is, we got to be perfect to have a chance to win a game. And when he said it, I said to myself, yeah, he's right. This roster is so bad that they cannot afford a single error. And I think that the players on the team who've been around a while understood that they had given him a roster and tried to tell him to win with one hand tied behind his back. Now, could he have won three games? Yeah, sure. You know, but is the town or is anyone going to be any happier if he's 3-13? No.
I don't know, Pat. I think the fans may have been happier. That was basically their average number of wins over five previous seasons. You might have rather won two. 3-13 means you're fired. But 0-16 means you're fired and never head coaching again. Use pain was Sashi's game. 0-16 was going to plan, Sashi's plan. If you think about it that way, the Browns had a great season.
Absolutely fucking not.
Hey man, you gotta give me something. I wasn't the only fan looking for something positive to take from a garbage year. Browns fans planned a perfect season parade. They trudged through the slushy streets of Cleveland on January 6th in 6-degree weather, celebrating being the best at being the worst. This pissed me off. I don't know why it hurts so much. NFL Red Zone's Andrew Siciliano sums it up.
I mean, 0-16, it was effing brutal. But I hate the woe is me shit, okay? Like, the people that showed up for an 0-16 parade saying, oh, well, we deserve to let our voices heard. Yes, you do. Always let your voice heard, okay? But stop dealing into the 0-16, oh, it's the Browns. Like, we suck narrative. Stop it. I hate that loser attitude. And I want Browns fans to move past that.
No matter how the fans or the media felt, the team now had the number one pick in the draft, a bunch of other picks to make, and a ton of cap space to burn. It was easy to look up because there wasn't any further down to go. But there was one last embarrassment waiting for Cleveland before they could flush the 2017 season, a promise made the season before that would haunt their head coach.
If we're sitting here a year from now, after another 1-15 season.
Again, I can't do that.
What would that?
I can't do that. We're not going to do that. So, and we can stop right there. I'm not doing that.
You're not talking about it? You're
not I'm not going 1-15. No. Well, I'll be swimming in the lake over there somewhere. So, that's not happening.
In 2016, Hugh promised to jump in Lake Erie if the team went 1-15 again. You know, the lake fed by this river.
The Cuyahoga River, as it reaches Lake Erie after a 100-mile twisting and turning journey from its headwaters, is an exhausted stream, abused and misused by man and his machines.
The 1969 river fire actually led to the creation of the Environmental Protection Agency. So I guess what I'm saying is, you're welcome, America. Anyway, the stakes were high for Hugh. And as we just recounted, he won no games. So on June 1st, 2018, he made the plunge.
Come on, let's go!
For safety, or maybe just out of sheer embarrassment, the Browns wouldn't tell anyone where he was jumping in the lake. But news crews found him anyway, just in time to catch Jackson's whole ass hanging out of his trunks after he dove in. In a way, Hugh's ass felt like a symbol of the problems of the Browns organization laid bare. And while it wasn't all his fault for sure, Jackson lost 11 of 12 games that were decided by 7 points or fewer. So, still probably a bad head coach. But in the end, this was the ultimate football futility. Browns journalist and historian Terry Pluto knows that sucking is the Browns' most prized tradition.
What every new regime didn't realize is that when you come in, you inherit the sins of the past. And on top of it, you are almost blamed for it, even though you weren't here. It didn't take long after the initial hope that this will be different. All of a sudden, the list of sins would go next to your name, most of which you didn't commit. You know, they messed up some too. But again, they always did inherit the sins of the past.
It's this chain of events, the mistakes that snowballed out of control, the ever-increasing fan impatience to be good, the vast list of names who have come through the turnstile at owner and head coach and GM and quarterback that tells the story of the Cleveland Browns and why us fans still love them after they have sucked beyond all reason for 20 seasons. They say tragedy plus time equals comedy. If that's the case, the Browns are the funniest sitcom of the last 20 years. But in order to enjoy the show, you gotta go all the way back to 1995, to the original sin.
Do you remember where you were when Art Modell took the team away?
Yes, I was in Iraq.
Oh, wow.
I was the worst day of my life, and I was in Iraq.
Like, were there other Browns fans?
Oh, yeah, we cried. Grown men in Iraq crying when he took that team out of here.
That's next time on Brownstown. Brownstown is hosted and reported by me, Andre Knott. Produced and written by Harry Swartow and Peter Moses. Edited by Isabel Jocelyn. Music by Brian Decker. Production coordination by Devin Shepard. And production assistance by Mariam Khan, Michael Ehrlich, Shwetha Surendran, and Zach Jackson. Brownstown is a Blue Wire podcast and executive produced by Peter Moses and John Yells. See you next time.